Hello and welcome to another episode of Starside Chat. We're back for regularly scheduled eps, and that was my co-host Zach coughing. How's it going, Zach?
I guess I have to leave that in the podcast
now. You gotta leave that in. I'm helping you because now you don't have to edit it.
I guess that's true. Saves me one.
My name's Aaron, and we're here to talk to you about video games this week.
Yeah, you've been playing something recently that I'm very interested to hear about.
Yes, I have.
And a bunch of stuff has come out recently. Now that, I guess, fake E3 is over, question mark?
Well, there is still a rumor that there is going to be a June-end Nintendo Direct. Something that is maybe going to happen on, I've heard, the 29th. Which would be on Wednesday of this coming week. That's a rumor that I've heard, so who knows if that is true. But yeah, it does seem like we've wound down on the news cycle for fake E3.
I remain hopeful that Nintendo does have something in store for this next week, because their one direct that they did was the Xenoblade 3 direct.
And did you watch that?
I did not.
I did not either.
So yeah, hopefully that was just the, like, oh, here's a game that's coming out pretty soon. So we'll do the thing we usually do, where we do like a direct dedicated exclusively to that game. Mm-hmm. And then we have like a direct that's about other stuff coming up later. So hopefully that's the case, but we don't know for sure yet.
There is still stuff to talk about. Not to jump ahead though, I think the biggest piece of news this week is that as we're recording this, SGDQ is starting this summer, and it's a week-long event of speedrunning. We talk about it whenever it comes around, but it's in person again this year. I was logging into it to take a look, and they are back in a hotel. Everyone's in the same area, so I think it's going to be really fun, and I thought it would be fun to take a look at the schedule to see what's on the docket this year, briefly.
I see they do have a Mass Effect one coming up.
Yes. I was going to bring that up. There is a Mass Effect one today. They're starting off with a randomized boss rush of Shadow of the Colossus, which I think is going to take less than 50 minutes, which blows my mind. I'm very interested to see that. The website that has the schedule is not loading for me, I think because a ton of people are logging into it right now. So let's not talk about this right now. Let's talk about From Software.
We're recording on Sunday, so if the Mass Effect one may have been done already, and you can go watch that if you're interested.
Yeah, they're very good. In recent years, they've really, really upped their game. Oh, it did load for me. About putting stuff on YouTube almost directly after. And it's nice and annotated. There's always a little thing you can click in the description to see, like, right when the runner is introduced and right when the run starts. If there's ever, like, weird stuff, they'll always annotate that. If there's, like, a weird... if the runner has like put a weird Easter egg in the game or anything, but it is loaded for me. So yeah, Shadow of the Colossus is something I'm very interested in watching. Mass Effect is going to happen today. It's an 80% no Mako glitch. I don't know what the Mako glitch is.
Yeah, me neither. After that, Kirby and the Forgotten Land. Played that earlier.
Yeah, that'll
year.
Be interesting. I'll be very interested to see that. Perfect Dark is another one I'm interested in seeing. That's happening tonight. Other things, I'm just skimming through all these to see if there's anything that pops out at me. Altered Beast is something I'm interested in. I used to play that game all the time on my Sega Genesis. That's happening. Let me just scroll through. Link's Awakening, the new one, I think. 80% glitchless race. It's supposed to be an hour and a half long, or an hour and 50 minutes long. That should be interesting to look at.
Super Mario Odyssey coming up on Tuesday.
This is interesting. Phasmophobia, that one where you and a group of people are ghost hunters. There's an 80% small maps run that I think is going to be very interesting to watch. That's an evening thing. I think that's going to be a fun stream. Looks like they're doing a bunch of scary games. There's a scary game block. There's a Silent Hill 4, The Room, Outlast. So there'll be like a spooky block on Tuesday going into, or Monday going into Tuesday. Yakuza Like a Dragon, 80%. That's going to be 4 hours and 25 minutes long. That's going to be a crazy thing to watch. Halo Infinite, there's an hour and a half long Halo Infinite. All missions, no tank gun. Let's see, what else do we got here? Banjo-Tooie. Actually, that's interesting to me. An 80% run that's only 34 minutes. That could be cool to watch.
I saw there was a Tunic one as well. I'm looking for stuff that'll be cool. That came out recently.
Oh, there's a Solar Ash one. True Ending, parentheses, restricted.
There you go. That is something I might check out. I found an Elden Ring one.
Whoa, what's the estimated time on that?
This is Saturday. They're going to have an Elden Ring one. Looks like 2 hours, all remembrances. Which means I think they're going to have to do all the big boss fights.
There is a Satisfactory run happening on Friday. I was very into that game. It's been getting updates forever. The last update I played was, I think, the one where they added pipes. But Satisfactory is a very fun game, and I would be very interested to see how they've optimized it. That's one I'm definitely going to watch. Ocarina of Time randomizer, obviously. Co-op, somehow. That's going to be interesting. Portal 2 is always fun. What else do we got here? Ooh, there's a Wind Waker one. I'll probably check that out. Metroid Dread, 1 hour and 21 minutes. 80% NMG normal. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, there are all those things they put in there, and I don't know what they mean.
The Elden Ring one, I bet, will be very interesting to watch. I'm sure there's been a bunch of crazy skips found for that game.
I was going to say, they've already been like pretty crazy speedruns for that game. So
it's interesting. So there's All Remembrances, and that's going to be 2 hours. And then on Sunday, there's a bonus game, which usually is incentivized with like donation goals. And it's also Elden Ring. And that is an 80% run that's only 33 minutes.
Hmm.
Which I will be very interested to see. I'm sure it's going to have some crazy bugs that they exploit.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, if you didn't do all the boss fights, you could probably get through the game relatively quickly. Like, definitely under 2 hours, I would assume, for these speedrunners who are, like, finding these crazy ways of getting through the game.
This is a good lineup, I have to say. I think there have been a couple AGDQs and SGDQs where I've only found like one or two things I'm interested in watching. But this one has like solidly maybe at least like 9 or 10 things that I definitely want to check out. So yeah, look forward to that. When this releases, it'll be heavily underway. But like I said, they're very good at putting stuff on YouTube, so definitely check that out.
Well, should we talk about From Software as we're talking about Elden Ring speedruns?
Yeah. So this week, the main dude at From Software came out, Miyazaki, and was like, guess what? Our next project is in the final stages of happening, so get ready for that soon.
And it's not an Elden Ring sequel, though he did leave the door open for like an Elden Ring sequel at some point, but that's not what the next project is. Mm. But, I mean, who knows what it is, but it seems quick. Right? Elden Ring came out this year. We haven't even heard anything about DLC for Elden Ring yet, and they're already in the final stages of whatever the next game is.
I guess I don't know how big From is. I mean, they make really good games that people buy a lot of, and Elden Ring was such a success. I guess they do have multiple teams working on stuff. There's a rumor, I guess, that this is going to be an Armored Core game, because they also make those. But it could be another thing. It could be Sekiro 2, or it could be Bloodborne 2. Wouldn't that blow the doors off of everybody?
I was going to say, the sequels that I think people are really like on the edge of their seat waiting for would be Bloodborne 2 and Sekiro 2. But
I'm very interested to see. I wonder when it will be. Maybe at Gamescom opening night, we'll see something in Cologne when that happens at in like August, I think. Jeff Keighley will be there. But, Zach, let's talk about this next story. Set the scene for me.
Okay, so Nintendo is trying to make movies, and they released this insane lineup. There was a trailer. It was during a Direct, I think.
Yes, it was.
And they were announcing the voice cast for it, and every single name that was listed, everybody was like, what? What is happening?
Great to watch. There's a ton of great reaction videos on YouTube of people reacting to that Direct. And everyone, I don't think anyone was like, I've watched a lot of those, very similar to how I watched like the release video for the Switch. And I would say 0% of those, when they revealed the voice of Mario, they were like, oh, that's a great idea. Everybody was like, this is insane and a bad idea.
Yeah, like, what? Why? And then recently, Chris Pratt, who is the voice of Mario, believe it or not, has said that his take on the character is unlike anything you've heard in the Mario world before. And my immediate reaction was, well, yeah, that's why nobody wants it.
What do you think he means by this? Like, what could this mean?
I'm just trying to wrap my head around saying those words and thinking of it as a good thing. But, yeah, what could he mean? I mean, for one, I assume there's got to be a lot more dialogue coming from the characters.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Than we maybe want or can even wrap our heads around at this moment.
Now, I heard a rumor, and I guess this would negate it being seen in the Mario world before, but I heard a rumor that, did you ever watch the old Mario TV show, like the Super Mario TV show that was animated?
I mean, I vaguely recall it, but I don't remember watching much of it.
In that, Mario has like a thick New York accent for some reason. So maybe that is what's happening? I really don't know. Like, he's definitely not doing an Italian accent, because he said, Chris Pratt is on record as saying, quote, my Mario won't have an Italian accent. He'll be normal this time. Or he said something insane like that. Like, he's not Italian. He's normal.
My guess is so, it's just going to sound like Chris Pratt.
And I think so.
And that even if it is just Chris Pratt, it's unlike anything you've heard in the Mario world before. I mean, it holds up. What he said.
Yeah, that is true.
Even if it's just...
It's just going to sound like his character from the Lego movie.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It'll sound like the character he did in the Lego movie. And even that would qualify as being unlike anything you've heard in the Mario world before, but...
I do think that the Lego movie is the reason he got the Mario job.
I mean, you're probably right.
Nintendo saw that and they were like, oh, this guy is a lovable guy before everyone turned on him and everyone hates Chris Pratt now because he's in a cult and everything, which I do maintain he is in a cult. I've said that on the podcast before. I don't know. This makes me insanely curious. And you know what? If we get this direct next week, this coming week on the 29th,
my prediction we could very of well a see the Mario first movie trailer will hold up.
Let's both make a prediction about this fake direct that might not happen. My prediction is that Chris Pratt, I predict he will be making a funny voice. Like, he'll, it's like, I bet it will be like him doing a Kermit the Frog voice. Is my prediction.
I'm just trying to think of, like, Kermit the Frog's voice coming out of Mario's mouth.
It's going to be weird.
Yeah.
I guess my main prediction is it will be bad.
Well, I mean, I think everybody is, like, 100% thinking it's going to be bad, but...
Yeah.
Interestingly, the Game Informer article that we have linked in our show notes for this is says it's an animated voiceover narrative, at least in part.
What?
Like what he's doing for the Mario movie.
What does that mean?
I mean, maybe it's instead of like him directly speaking a lot, maybe you will have what's his name? The actual Mario voice.
Martinet? Charles Martinet?
Yeah, maybe you'll have him doing like the wahoo and it's a me type of thing. But like maybe Chris Pratt is like the like internal monologue in his head.
What you're saying is we see Mario. He is walking along. Or no, he's in like a big epic battle. He's about to fight Bowser. And then we get a record scratch and everything freezes. And then Chris Pratt's voice comes on. He's like, I bet you're wondering how I got in this mess. My name is Mario, which I believe is canonically Mario's name.
Is it really?
And I believe Luigi's name is Luigi Mario.
That's hilarious.
But I don't know. I mean, like...
I mean, it could be something like that.
I am so curious. And we very well could get... I think, besides Breath of the Wild, this is what I'm most anticipating from Nintendo, is what this is going to look like and sound like.
I mean, this article also says that the movie was mostly finished last November,
Really?
Yeah. And it's slated to premiere April 7th. So, I mean, we very well...
This would be early for a trailer.
Yeah, we very well could get a trailer during the Game Awards.
Yeah, maybe I think that's more likely.
The safer bet.
But, here's a prediction for you. Annotate this YouTube video. I predict Chris Pratt will be at the Game Awards or will have a weird The Rock style live that isn't actually live.
Yeah, but I can see that, especially if they're doing a trailer. I bet he does like appear either
Hello,
on
Game
stage
Awards,
or
he'll say drink this weird drink that I'm making. And also, here is the trailer for Mario.
This energy drink has a Mario movie tie-in. Please buy it. Also, it's a me, Chris Pratt. I'm doing the Mario movie.
I'm very curious. Yeah. I really don't know what he's going to do. And it's going to sound insane,
I think, so
whatever it is.
To me, this is the big problem with Hollywood right now, is unlike anything you've heard in insert franchise or world before, like that's what they're going for with pretty much everything. And it goes from, you know, Star Wars to like this Amazon Prime Lord of the Rings show to like the Mario movie, where it's all like people, what they don't understand is that people don't want so-and-so just out of college, their take on such and such a universe. They want the universe, you know what I mean?
It's true.
And so that's how they're continually screwing things up. I have not watched the Kenobi series, but I have heard that it's hard to square some of what happens in that with going back and rewatching the original trilogy, such that...
Oh, really?
I forget who was talking about it, but they were talking about how, like, Obi-Wan is just kind of palling around with young Leia for parts of the show, such that it'll be weird to go back and rewatch A New Hope and her be like, help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi, you're my only hope. But, like, she doesn't really know who he is. And she, like, in her message, she's like, years ago, you helped my father in this. Not like years ago, we palled around and we became good friends and you helped me. Like, so there, it's one of those things where in order to get into it, you have to like disconnect the two. And I'm just like, people don't want that. Like, you shouldn't have to do that in order to watch and enjoy the new thing. You know what I mean?
I agree.
So that's why I think, yeah, they're... Hollywood is creatively bankrupt, but also they're screwing. they just want to like feed off of the success of the original franchise without like doing their due diligence to like take care of it in a good way. And they're just doing whatever they want with it. And they're kind of screwing it up. But that's just me.
I think you're right. It's a weird time to... Because unfortunately, Disney owns everything.
Yeah.
And so
that's also part of the problem.
Everything has to go through the gatekeepers and be like micromanaged. But let's talk about something more fun than corrupt, bankrupt Hollywood. Into the Breach, which is a game I loved and I have played to completion. Well, not fully to completion, but I still have not unlocked like... the secret group or whatever, but Into the Breach is a great game that I love to play on computer, and I also bought on Switch and played it on Switch and had a great time. It has good controller support. It is, I guess, now being published or has a partnership with Netflix, which also is a distributor of games now. But they're coming out with an advanced edition, which is playable on a phone on July 19th. And so they've added a couple new groups of mechs. There's new enemies. There's new strategies, new missions, rather. And this is really cool because it's coming for free to like the PC edition and like the Switch edition, things like that. But also you can play it on your phone, which is a great idea. Like, this is a great thing that I would play on like an iPad if I wanted to do that, because it's the touch just like makes sense, I feel like, for how to control this. But
yeah, I was gonna say this is the kind of game that makes perfect sense for like a touchscreen or like a portable device.
Did you get much into The Breach when it first came out?
A little bit, not as much as you. I liked what was there. I just it's one of those things where like with these roguelites where I eventually fall off of them before I actually like complete it.
Yeah.
But I thought it was cool. I liked what it was doing. It might get me excited to try it out again if I can like download it on my phone.
I think it would be a good one. I am excited to see. I've kind of remained spoiler free of it because I want to see. I want to experience the new mechs when they happen. So I don't know what the new mech's powers are. I just briefly watched the trailer, but it seems really cool. And then another thing I wanted to talk about. This actually isn't on our show notes, but Steam Next Fest is happening right now, or whatever it is, the Steam like demos, and also the Steam Summer Sale is happening, but. Cultic received a new demo. They've been working on it, and they took down the old demo. They delisted the old demo that we did a video on, and they put out a new one because they said they've been doing so much work on Cultic that the old demo was not representative of what the final product is going to be. And so I've downloaded the new demo, and I have only played like 5 minutes of it because then I had to go do something. But we maybe should do another video on Cultic to see about all the changes. It's still not, you still can't use the mouse wheel to change between weapons, which is weird.
Yeah.
But they've added a ton of stuff, and I think it is worth a revisit. So we might do a video on that in the near future.
Yeah, I'm down for that.
And then also I saw a trailer for something else that I wishlisted called Diluvian Ultra, which is a very Aaron game.
That's what I thought when I watched this trailer.
It's, it's that old style of kind of Doom-esque, Quake-esque graphics, but you have a sword, and there's other weapons, but you start out, I think, with a sword. It seems like you're in hell, and, let me read this. You're an undead prince who is awakened in deep sleep aboard a tomb ship by an invasion. So this is like a real crazy, it's almost like you're part of the Hive from Destiny. Where you're in this like tomb ship that I think is probably going somewhere, like going into the deep space to get to another planet. But you wake up and there are invading enemies into this tomb ship. And so it's your job to clear them out and, you know, make sure the tomb ship is okay. But a very interesting premise and setting, and the like weird pixel art Doom style FPS graphics are very cool to me. So I will definitely check this out. It will return in early access in the near future. But looks like there was a demo on June 13th, but it's no longer happening. This is one to check out. We'll probably do a video on it when it actually does come out, because I'm very interested to play it.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool. Definitely more up your alley than mine, but it does look pretty cool.
Yeah, very similar to Cultic, actually. That's what made me think of putting Cultic in here.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of games have come out this week.
Yeah, so the one I'm interested in asking you about, if you've kept an eye on, is that Neon White game.
It looks crazy. I have not really checked it out. But I've only heard good things about it.
Yeah,
it's just I don't know why I'm not like chomping at the bit to check it out.
Well, so to me, it's one of those games that I think is more fun to watch than it is than I am personally interested in playing it.
You might be right.
But I saw,
maybe it's the card system. I don't really like card systems, I have to say.
Well, they're more like just representing what items you've picked up. So like,
yeah,
it's a run-based thing where there are these different levels and you're trying to figure out how to get from point A to point B. And so you're kind of almost parkouring around. And so you'll like pick up along the way. The pickups you get are like, you picked up like an Uzi or whatever. And so you can use that to shoot enemies, because you also like have to kill all the enemies in the level before you can exit. But you can, I believe, if you discard a card, that gives you like an extra jump. And so you have to kind of use that to like get around the world. I saw, I think it was Dan Reichert with Giant Bomb, because he's back with Giant Bomb. They did like a nearly hour long stream where he and somebody else were like playing through some of the levels. And it's one of those things where it's like there will be a leaderboard that will show you, okay, your friends made it through the level in this amount of time. And you're like, oh man, they did it in like half the time that it took me to get through it. And so you replay the levels until you can like work out how to like shave some time off of your run. And like, again, to me, I'm not super interested in that type of a thing, but like, I think it's fun to watch, because I thought it was actually really fun to watch somebody else who kind of knew what they were doing already play it.
Yeah, watching this trailer does make it seem like something I would like to check out. Like, this would, as we were talking about earlier, SGDQ is happening right now. This would be a great SGDQ game. I'm sure it will show up in January or December, whenever they do AGDQ. I'm sure this is definitely going to be on the roster.
Yeah, I was thinking about that too as we were going through that. This is definitely like perfect for that type of thing. And I definitely also thought that this was more up your alley than mine, which is why I wanted to bring it up. But it seems cool. And maybe I would feel differently if I like gave it a shot. Maybe I would come around on it and find that it was something I enjoyed more than I thought. But I think like the art style is really cool, and for me, I would probably just play through each level until I figured out how to complete them, and then not really care that much whether I had like wound up higher than somebody else on the leaderboard. But I mean, even that could be fun. But
it does look cool. I don't know why, but I just am anti cards and games. I feel like I'm over it for whatever reason. That's one of the reasons I never got into that Inscription game, even though I heard it was great.
I actually really liked the card based combat of Inscription, maybe more so than I liked everything else that was going around in that game. But I will say, like, if you think about the cards if you ignore the fact that they are cards and just think of them as like item pickups in the level that like, because when you pick up a gun in like a normal game, like say it's GoldenEye, you just have a gun showing on your screen, right? This game gets rid of the physical representation of you holding a gun and just shows you a card saying you have this equipped right now. So it's basically,
I guess that is
a HUD element is what it is.
Yeah.
So if you think about it that way, I think maybe you'll be able to get around it. But
yeah, that's a good point.
So the other thing I wanted to ask you about, because I don't know much about it, is Shadowrun.
Now, I play Shadowrun, the board game, not the pen and paper game, every week on Saturday nights with my friends. We've had an ongoing game that's been going on for over a year, actually.
Really?
Is there a new Shadowrun game that's coming out?
Didn't they release the trilogy on like Switch and modern consoles?
Oh yes, the Shadowrun trilogy. Yes,
yeah,
you're right.
So I think that may have come out this week.
I always wanted to check these out, but I never did. Shadowrun is a cool environment because it is a world where it's like a cyberpunk setting, but also magic is on like a loop. So, like, there was magic in olden days, and that's why we have legends about it. But then it went away for, like, 5,000 years. I think it is, like, on a 5,000-year cycle. And so the world was in this cyberpunk era in the far future, but then it ticked over and magic came back. So it's, like, a crazy setting where magic and cyberpunk are kind of at war with each other. It makes for a very cool role-playing environment. But these games also, I've heard, are really good. They were originally Kickstarters, I believe. But I just have never checked them out.
Well, now
I own some of them, actually.
I was going to say, you can pick up the trilogy on Switch now, which is pretty cool.
I feel like I bought a Humble Bundle once, or I donated to a Humble Bundle that had the first two games on Steam that I used those codes, but I just never downloaded them for whatever reason. But I would play it on Switch. This is a good... and you get all three of them for like $24, so that's pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good deal, it seems like. And then the other thing that I have started playing is Fire Emblem Warriors Three Hopes. Mm-hmm. I almost called it Three Houses, but so I picked this up because, one, I loved Fire Emblem Three Houses, which I think is a really underrated game. It's one of my top five Switch games. And I also, so this is what, Koei Tecmo, the Musou Omega Force? Is that the developer of the Musou style games?
I think so, Koei.
Yeah, well, they, so I loved Persona 5 Strikers, which came out last year, I believe. And that was like sort of a Musou take on the Persona series, but it was like less like you're fighting thousands of enemies on screen at once, and it was a little bit more like you're fighting one big enemy, or maybe you'll have like some smaller groups of enemies to fight through.
Mm-hmm.
And so that one just felt like a third person action RPG, as opposed to like the turn-based combat of like Persona 5 proper. And so yeah. I really liked it for that. And it also like really streamlined the process of playing through like a Persona game in a way that I thought was more approachable. And so I really liked that game. And this one, it brings back the cast of Three Houses, but it's almost like, I feel like fiction in movies and games has like a fascination with like multiverses or like alternate timelines. Oh, yeah. And like even like Final Fantasy VII Remake is like, here's an alternate take on these events or whatever. I feel like that's what this is. Like, I'm not far enough in to really know exactly what's going on with this game, but like, it seems like this is an alternate take on the events of Three Houses, because instead of playing the main character from Three Houses, you play a mercenary who meets up with the leaders of the three different houses, and they end up like recruiting you to join the monastery and to join like the school. So basically, in Three Houses, you play a teacher at the monastery, and you're sort of getting to know all the different characters from the three different houses, and you're sort of leading classes, and how that translates into gameplay is you're sort of building them up in sort of RPG elements, sort of building up their classes and their characters in that way. And you're getting to know all of them. And then like there's a time jump and like some stuff goes down and it ends up being this massive war with the three houses all facing off against each other. And in doing that, it makes it really compelling because you're no longer fighting these like nameless, you know, bandits or whatever. You're fighting characters that you've spent quite a bit of time getting to know. And so you're like, man, it really sucks to have to go up against this other character. And so like, but it's really interesting for that. And so this game, I think you're able to join one of the houses. I already picked which house I want to join. And then I believe there will be the time jump and all the houses will be at war with each other. And so it's sort of going to be like an alternate take on it. And because like in the intro, you see the main character, Byleth from Three Houses, and he's like the villain. So it's interesting. He's, I guess, not with the monastery this time. I guess he's some sort of villain.
Mm.
And so I'm curious how it's going to play out. But also, I joined the same house that I joined in Three Houses because I wanted to see how things would be different. And already, like, there's like a little bit of dialogue that happened between Edelgard, who's the leader of the Black Eagles, and like her sort of right-hand man, basically. And it seems to be leading towards where that big shift is going to happen. And so I'm curious if maybe I'll see a little bit more context added to events that I remember from the previous game. So I think Koei Tecmo, they do a really good job of like not just adapting the games to look and feel and sound very much like the game that they're pulling from, but also like advancing the story in like interesting ways. So they really like positioned Persona 5 Strikers as like a sequel to Persona 5. And so I really liked how they did that, and I thought it was really cool. And so I'm curious to see what they do with this game as well.
Interesting.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to playing more of them. Not very far into it just yet, but also out this week, Fall Guys. Did you play any of this? I think you're the, between the two of us, you're the only one that played Fall Guys.
When this first came out, wasn't it on like PlayStation Plus or something? I somehow played it for free on PlayStation.
It might have had like a free downloaded window it. Or something.
Yeah, I downloaded it and played it like the week everyone cared about it before Among Us was a thing. And it was fine. Like we had a good time like a night playing it, maybe for like 2 hours. I feel like it does not have a super long tail. And I feel like people aren't really playing it these days, but
I think it's just maybe a party game. Like it's fun to play with a group for like an evening, but other than
that's probably true. It's free to play now, and it's on Switch, so maybe it'll have a new life.
Yeah.
But I probably will not play it again.
Yeah, and it's sort of a little bit that Battle Royale thing of, like, can you survive till the end?
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Very true.
I haven't played it yet, but it is now free to play, so maybe I'll give it a shot, just so I at least have an idea of what's going on with it. But and then the other thing maybe you care about, Sonic Origins, was this on your radar?
A little bit. I mean, it's cool. I've emulated these games. Like, when I was in college, I just had all the old Sonic games on an emulator, and I would just play them constantly while listening to podcasts on my computer with just, like, keyboard controls.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that I need to revisit these, but it is cool because, like, it's on everything. You can get it on Switch. And there's like a legacy mode and a what do they call it? There's like an anniversary mode. And the anniversary mode is it'll be 16:9. Like it'll up-res it. And there aren't lives anymore. So that was always kind of a bummer with Sonic. If you didn't really know what you were doing and you weren't like getting extra lives, you would get to the end and there's not like save states or anything. You can't like save your game in old style Sega Genesis Sonic. So if you died at like the last level and you ran out of lives, that's it. But with this in the anniversary mode, you can just play infinitely. So you don't have to worry about getting extra lives. They added extra like weird meta things where you're collecting these special coins that you can use to unlock like, concept art and different like music and stuff. And I think there's even a mode where you can play every game back to back to back, like in one, like in succession and save that. So that's interesting. And if you're like into Sonic, but you've like have not a lot of experience with other games in the series, I would say maybe pick this up. But Sonic Mania, I think, is a great distillation of like perfectly what Sonic is. And that's also still available. So you can check that out. But there is a ton of content in Sonic Origins because it is like
three games.
Every game. And also you can play as Knuckles in Sonic 1, which you could never do before, which is very interesting.
So I believe Sonic 1 and 2 is already on Switch. Is it?
Oh, is it? I thought they delisted them in preparation for this.
Maybe they did. I don't remember, but
I remember people being mad about that because they delisted a bunch of stuff on like the App Store as well.
Are they not part of the Sega collection?
Oh, are they? I wonder if they took it off that too.
Well, I wonder if they took it off because they were adding it to the Sega collection.
Oh, maybe that is the
and
case.
So
yeah.
That's my speculation. I don't actually remember, but maybe that's why they did it. But
I'm into this. I mean, I think it's cool. I also saw a headline that was like talking about how somebody was upset with how it was not optimized well, or like there were some problems with it, but as far as I can tell, it's a great way to play old style Sonic. It's in 16:9 and not having to worry about losing lives. So that's a great feature.
Yeah. Well, why don't we get into what we've been playing and watching this week?
Yes.
So I've played more of the High Isle expansion for Elder Scrolls Online. I'm almost done with it, I think. as far as like the main story goes. And I've tried to go around and do as much of the side quests as I can. I really like it. I'm trying to decide if I like it better or worse than the Morrowind one, which is the other one that I've played. But it has gotten me back into ESO. And so I may try to keep the momentum going and play some of the other expansions that I've not played yet. But I really have enjoyed it. And yeah, I don't really have anything new or earth-shattering to say about it other than that. But I'm interested in hearing about Genshin Impact.
Yes. So I finally broke down and I downloaded it. I downloaded it on PC and PS4, just so I could swap back and forth. I've only played maybe about 2.5 hours. I don't know if it's hooked me yet. It's like kind of clunky to run around. It's not like I want Breath of the Wild is the thing. It's like so similar to Breath of the Wild, but it's very clunky. And maybe it's because you need to level up in order to get like, you know, quicker running speed and more stamina and whatnot.
What are you playing it on?
I have primarily played it on PC now. And I think it is better to play it with mouse and keyboard. Ironically, I think it's made to be played with a controller. But I don't know. It just feels better on mouse and keyboard. It's cool, I think. I don't know. I still am not on board recommending it yet. Also, multiplayer doesn't unlock until you reach level 16.
Oh, really?
So even if I did recommend it to you, you'd have to play a significant amount before we could play together. Yeah, I don't know. It's weird to me that you're not really upgrading your own character. And in fact, a lot of people seem to never play as their main character, because the whole thing is you're collecting different characters to play as. You can swap between them almost like different weapons. And so right now I have three characters right now. I have myself, who's just called the Traveler. And then they give you, I've been doing like the main quest line. I haven't like gone off and done random stuff yet. I think I'm still in the tutorial actually. But they give you this girl with like a red bunny ears. And then I also got this witch named Lisa. Everyone has really weird names. But I'm going to play more of it before I give a definitive decision on it. But it definitely makes me want to play Breath of the Wild, because I feel like the combat is better in Breath of the Wild. And just like all movement options are better in Breath of the Wild. But it's also possible I need to unlock more people to get better movement options.
I was going to say, I thought like that was supposed to be one of the highlights of it, was the combat, because you have so many different characters with different abilities.
Well, and maybe that's the problem. Maybe I only have the three characters right now. I need to unlock more. But it's weird. It's not super fun to play on controller for me. It like makes more sense to play it on keyboard and mouse, which I was not expecting.
Yeah.
But it's just like, especially for the ranged characters, it just feels better to aim, because like there's an extra button you have to press, and maybe I'm doing it wrong, for when you have like a bow character on a controller. But I don't know. I'm hot and cold on it right now. I'm going to play more of it this week, and I'll have a more defined decision of it about like if it is actually something I'm interested in, hopefully by next weekend when we record. But I will report back about it.
Yeah, I was going to say, this seems like something that if I were to try to download it and check it out, I would maybe think to do it on like Switch or something. But
and interestingly, they announced it for Switch, but that was years ago, and it's still, they've been very quiet. It has not come out.
Did it never come out on Switch?
It never came out, which is very weird.
That's crazy.
I would have downloaded it forever ago. Yeah. That was like the one thing, because I wanted to play it on my TV. But I booted up my old PS4 and decided to do it that way.
Hmm. Or you could go really different and download it on your phone.
Yeah. I would imagine it is very pretty. Definitely they got the aesthetics of Breath of the Wild right. It does look beautiful. And the music is great. There's like the little piano tinkling in the background. Like they definitely did. They knew what they were doing. But yeah, I don't know. The jury's still out. I need to play more of it, and actually I did like one dungeon-esque thing and it was pretty fun. But now that I need to get at least four characters to like fill out my roster, and I also need to like figure out how elemental stuff works. I still don't really understand that. But yeah, TBD on GI.
At this point, there's probably like a gazillion guides on YouTube that you could look up. So
I have my YouTube recommendations are all messed up right now because I've been watching a bunch of like things you should know when you play Genshin Impact videos. So it's recommending like basically all Genshin Impact videos to me right now. Yeah. But let's talk about that Twin Peaks.
Yeah, so what I've been watching this week is Twin Peaks. So I was in the mood to rewatch it again recently, and I was looking at the different streaming options, and it did not show up on any of them. And I remembered that I had not seen the, like, what was it, the 2017, like, return to Twin Peaks that they had done. And so I was like, so I went ahead and I bought the Blu-ray box set on Amazon.
Ooh.
Which was actually like for all the stuff you're getting, like all the seasons you're getting, not a bad price at all. Like I was surprised. And so I went ahead and I picked that up. And so I've been watching it through, and I'm going to go all the way through from start to finish. And I'm going to have to, I don't think the box set included Fire Walk With Me, the movie that they did after the first two seasons ended. So you're supposed to, I think, watch that and then go into the 2017 return to Twin Peaks. But I'm planning to do all of that and watch the entire thing. And there's stuff that I definitely forgot about as I'm rewatching through like the first season and the first two seasons. But there's definitely stuff I remember. I really like the show. And so, yeah, I was in the mood to rewatch it. And so I went ahead and picked up the big box set. So I am sure that I will have more questions about it once I get further into it. But
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
I was thinking about buying a Blu-ray. There's a series of Jackie Chan movies that I can't find on streaming anywhere. The Lucky Stars trilogy. I forget what they're all called. I think the middle one is called like My Lucky Stars or something. But it's a trilogy of movies that are great, I think, like based on the clips that I've seen. And I really want to watch them all in succession. I can't find them anywhere on streaming. And the one Blu-ray that Amazon has is like UK PAL, like Area 4 or whatever, so it won't play on my PS4 if I buy it.
Yeah,
I need to find a resource for buying like weird Asian movies that are old that are like no longer in print in America. I'm sure it exists, but like there's a ton. There's this Hong Kong movie called Hot War that I really want to watch because it's like heavily inspired by The Matrix and it's about VR, but it's like crazy. We've talked about this before, I think, on the podcast, but there's a very specific kind of Hong Kong movie that I like that it's hard to describe.
90s era, but it's like, Hong Kong movie.
Well, I would say even like late 90s, early 2000s. There's a period of time, I think right around when The Matrix came out, when they were just like, man, computers are great. And we're just going to make these insane movies with like very rudimentary CGI. And there's going to be action and crazy stuff happening and police are the good guys. And there's a ton, like Jin Wai Cops is a classic one that I love. That's peak this like aesthetic, but it's hard to find them. Cause I'll find good ones. I'll research and they're like not available on Amazon. They're not available anywhere on streaming and I can't find ways to watch them. And the old days when I was in high school and we would watch a bunch of crazy Hong Kong movies or Japanese movies that we heard about like on the schoolyard, I would just download them on like Kazaa or whatever. Yeah. Like I would find rips of them, but I don't really torrent stuff anymore. So I don't really know what the good, like the good method for this is. So I'm really in a quandary. I don't know how to access this media that it should be available to purchase, but I don't know. What would you do in this situation?
I would certainly like them to be more available. You're going to have to write to Quentin Tarantino and ask him to bring more movies over.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
But actually, I have found a few movies from going to my local Asian markets. They will actually sell them on DVD.
Oh.
And you can like find some that you will definitely not find in stores elsewhere.
Well, that is actually a really good idea. I didn't think about that.
So definitely check your local Asian markets. Some will sell movies on DVD. I've gotten a couple that way. So try that.
I will do that. That's a really good idea. There's a really good one, actually, not next to me, but within like a 40-minute drive of me that I think they have a store that has like not just food. So yeah, that's good idea.
That place might have something like that for sure. If they sell stuff like other than food, like other items, there's a good chance that they may also have DVDs there, in which case you can maybe find some hidden gems in there that you definitely will have a hard time finding otherwise, but.
I used to, my brother for a couple of years lived in Austin, Texas, and I would go visit him on the weekends sometimes. And there was a place there, I can't remember the name of, but it was a video store / DVD store. And it was crazy. It was huge. And it was like one of the main reasons I wanted to live in Austin, because you would go there and it was like two stories and had a huge international section of stuff I'd never even heard of. I couldn't look up online. And this is a long time ago. So the way you gained membership was you had to bring them a Blockbuster card, and then they would cut it in half in front of you, and then they would give you a membership card. and it was very cool and trendy. I don't know if it's still there. I hope it is. I don't remember what it's called. But maybe physical media is the way to go for this type of international stuff. So I will definitely – I will do that and report back.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you can find them if you were torrenting, but I –
There should be a website, though. Like, I feel like there should be a website where I can go and find like classic Hong Kong cinema DVDs for sale.
Have you tried Play Asia?
Play Asia?
Yeah, play-asia.com. I've gotten some stuff from there. I'm just looking now to see if they have the. Oh yeah, they do have it. BD, My Lucky Stars, Hong Kong.
What?
Go to Play Asia.
Zach, you're blowing my mind right now.
And it will tell you, usually, if it will play in our Blu-ray players.
Category 1. I have to look up what category we're in. Zach, this is amazing.
So I've gotten some stuff from PlayAsia before. It can take a while for it to ship to you, but you can get stuff here on this website that you won't be able to get like on Amazon for sure.
This is amazing. Man, they have My Hot War and it's on Blu-ray.
Oh, really? Ooh, I need to look that one up too.
Now, does it have subtitles? It does have English subtitles. Ooh, Zach, this is the best thing ever. I'm very happy.
Oh, good. Ooh, they do have it. Yeah, Hot War.
By Jingle Ma. Is the director. Definitely watch the trailer for this because it will blow your mind. This is peak. Oh, I don't know when did this come out. Official release date is 2022. That's not the case. 1998. Yeah, late 90s, early 2000s. Like 1998 to like 2002 is like very exactly what I want to be seeing.
So the thing to know about PlayAsia is it can take a while to ship to you, but also sometimes you will get it and the packaging will be completely in like Chinese or Japanese and you won't be able to read it. But I think they should have English subtitles, so you should be okay.
Free delivery when spending over $100. So maybe I'll just go buck wild.
I think you should. You absolutely should.
Well, this is a good way to end the show. I need to go buy all this stuff now.
This is our parting wisdom. It is go to Play Asia and go to your local Asian markets and you will find some good stuff. You can actually find like physical copies of games on Play Asia that do not get physical releases in America or like in the West. So that if you like physical copies of games, you can always come to Play Asia and see if there's a physical version of it as well. So that's another little tip.
Good to know. Great. There's some wisdom by Zach today. Zach's parting wisdom.
And with that, go ahead and follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube at Starside Cafe. and we'll catch you on the next one.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.